just a small thing. No. And it's okay, praise God. Immediately after they fire me, I'll just get a bigger job. Wait first. As long as you're saying, because I was fired, I'll get a bigger job. You know, out of like, God, this is righteousness. So, you know, you go settle me. As long as you're thinking like that, you won't get another one. The day you change your mind and say, it is the will of God, we have done it. The consequences are the will of God. Then God may give you a bigger job, or anyway, definitely he will settle you. But if you have a must be settled mentality, you won't get anything. What do I mean? Say, by faith, Moses kept the Passover. That's what I'm explaining. Part of it in Christianity is that we eat it with what? Bitter herbs. If the consequences are not sweet, as long as the thing is the word of God, we eat it anyhow. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. As long as it's the word of God, what do? We eat it anyhow. It's called bitter herbs. And I like Christians to know it, that Christianity, because it's a war zone, are you getting my point? We are fighting something. When they say, some people say, God sent me into ministry. And you want to go and open church in Lagos, in Abuja, in Port Harcourt, and this is in Bayelsa, you know, Goa, all those oil-producing areas. What did they find? Offering. There are people that God will send to go and open churches, and your highest earning congregation member will be a farmer. He said, where will I get offering from? Better rent a plot of land from the Igwe. Now, me, they tell you, plant your own yam to supplement your income. Don't because of that, because I've heard of people, and some I think I know, they say, these people serve. They all close the church down and go somewhere else. If you go to Lagos, because you think money is in Lagos, and you're a preacher that's supposed to be maybe in Ogiri River here, you know? Ogiri River is a good place, amen? Let me look for somewhere else. Anyway, somewhere, amen? You understand my point? Okay. If you park and go to Lagos, listen, if God is still with you and he loves you very much, in effect, the poverty you did not see in that village, you will see when you get to Lagos. You know, there's one thing I like about small towns and villages. You can never be homeless. You've not noticed? Have you ever seen a man in a village or in a small town that's sleeping on the street because he's homeless and his head is correct? Anybody sleeping on the street in a normal town or village is because his head is not correct, or is a security man in that area who fell asleep on duty. But when you go to Lagos, half of the people on the road, they are normal. Oh God, you don't get my point. What does he have? Most of them are normal. Poverty is what removed the line of demarcation between them and insanity. It's poverty. When you see big man beg in Lagos, you know, if you are GJC in Lagos, you will be confused. Some of the guys who beg in Lagos, they are so well dressed, they starch their clothes. These are things I have seen. And they show up, just know God is against this guy. Why? He came to Lagos because he thought the money was there. What am I saying? If God doesn't bless you in life, wherever you go, you won't find anything good there. If you leave the will of God and go to a place and you prosper, you're a dead meat. Let me say it again. If you leave the will of God and you go to a place and you prosper, you're dead meat. You are being set up for big destruction. Listen, we need to say this. This is true Christianity. We have to eat it with what? Bitter herbs. You know, this thing we call ministry is very funny. You know now, Apostle, people, they love me. Post me to this parish, to this branch, where things are big. Instead of people to be looking for where they will be posted to, where they can minister the word of God. Listen, this blood of Jesus thing, no be shout to. We must celebrate the feast. You know, as I said, I preached something before. Let me just say it again briefly. And that's the fact that faith is total. What did I call it? Total. Faith is what? Total. You don't take it half-half. One of the reasons why our faith don't work in life is because we are taking it half-half. This is what I mean. If you say, it does not matter what your background is, you can become anything in life. As long as you are poor, you are happy with that gospel. Yes, if you came, maybe your papa not gave money, your grandfather was even poorer, you understand? And the great-grandfather was nothing. You like that gospel. It's good. But when they go to an area where you are very advantaged, yeah, you get what I'm saying? Like, even if you are very intelligent and you had a first class in school, it does not mean that, it's a pastor, wait first. At least that's what God has given me. You see what I'm saying? When they were saying the other one, though, even though you don't know anybody, you shout, oh, preach it. Oh, praise God. Oh, this man is my man. He's jumping. He said, no matter how skilled you are, that skill is not a passport to prosperity. What is he talking about now? It is a blessing of God. You have to renounce your natural advantages. Pastor, what are you saying? The man believes it if he favors him, but he does not believe it when he does not favor him. That faith does not work entirely. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, that's why I thank God for a lot of ministers we have these days. They have shown us that God does not only call people without head. Not when we're young, those days, we thought that only people who have failed in life become Christians. We're brought up to think like that. When you say a man is an SU man, you know his frustration. You know now, he no go school. You know now, money no day. Or business don't collapse, he enters into ministry. But God has shown us he has called professionals and they walk out from being professionals and they enter into ministry. He has called all kinds of professionals. I love the man, what is his name now? My favorite, John G. Lake. In his days, he was a very wealthy man. God said, it is time. He used to preach in the U.S., you understand? Walk during the day, at night, go and preach. Walk on the day. Time came, God said, it is enough. Something inside him was just struggling for space. So he talked to his boss. His boss said, take a leave. 1 year, you come back afterwards. We improve your pay, give you better conditions. He went back. He went away, and he never went back. A time came for him to move down to South Africa. He sold everything he had. He had to believe God for money to cross the seas. Do you get the point I'm making? We eat it with what? Bitter herbs. That's what I want to emphasize. Please, you want to walk with God, it's not always sweet. It's not always sweet. I heard the story of one man, I've forgotten. He loved one girl, the girl loved him dearly. Then one day told the girl that, sorry, God says I should go to somewhere, one of these Asian countries, and be a missionary. And the girl said, sorry, I am not going to be a missionary. It pained him to his heart. But he said, suddenly he realized it's not between her and being a missionary. It is between God's will and man's will. Do I want to obey God? He cried though, but he waved the girl bye-bye. Somebody say bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. I think he's one man. I have the book in the house. Very rich. His father was very rich. You know, this maybe Texas millionaires. When they said he wanted to enter into ministry and become a minister, one of the things the father told him to drop was a key to their boat. You know, very rich. But the gospel cost him the relationship with his father. Somebody say bitter herbs. The gospel can cost you things that you thought were dear. And I think we should keep on telling believers like that so that when it's time to make the choice, so that the blood of Jesus will still be effective in their lives, they must celebrate this Passover, eating this thing with bitter herbs. I don't want this thing to go beyond today. Let me add the last one to it. He said, you will eat it with your loins girded. I explained it last time. What it simply means is that tighten your belt very well. Somebody explained that because they wore flowing robes, the way to guard your loins was to pick up the edges of the robe and tie the edges around your waist. So you kept the robe tight around you, and then that exposed your legs and freed them for rapid motion. And what I want to say there is this. We should be prepared for two things, all right? One, to share the gospel of Christ. That's number one. But number two, which is where my heart is to lay emphasis. I said it last time. We should live life as if indeed Jesus can appear anytime. You heard me say this one before. As if somebody were to appear to me and say, God sent me, or an angel. They said, I should tell only you this secret. Jesus is coming back next week. Because actually, indeed, he's going to come back one day. Are you getting my point? But there are two ways he comes back. You will move one day, or he will meet you here one day. And that thing is a matter of reality. So if they were to tell me that Jesus is coming back next week, maybe Monday, I say, what will I do differently? So people say, I'll quickly repent of all my sins. And I say, so if he's not coming back, you will hold the sins more. Are you getting my point? And listen, we don't have time now, but bear this thing in mind. You can actually live life ready for Jesus to come back anytime. We don't have time to talk about it now. Like money matters. When it says, don't lay up treasure for yourself on the earth. That's a matter of fact. Buy this land, it will appreciate later. Buy this stock, it will appreciate later. Those are things that Christians have a hard time balancing. If they tell you buy land, buy stock, buy something so that tomorrow your children will be able to go to school, and you do it, you are a sinner. Anything you do in life must be with a mindset of management of resources. I'm not saying Christians are spendthrift. Did I say so? It's not as if you give me money to do, I earn a salary today, I just spend everything next day. Say, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. You just spend everything next day. I didn't say so. But on a daily basis, if Jesus came today and zapped me away, you understand? I won't feel bad. Say, I forspent that money. If to see, I know. If I will have that feeling, believe me, I am going to spend that money first thing on Monday morning. I was thinking about it. Maybe we'll talk about that again later. Though we'll talk about them here and there. I look at life, that is my own life. For example, now, I traveled yesterday. And I didn't have to drive. We had a very nice car to go with. A very, very nice air-conditioned 4.7 liter 8 cylinders truck. Very nice. And to make it worse in quotes, or better, I didn't drive. Olayinka drove. I crossed my leg and he drove. And when we're coming back today, because in the morning, there was the way it was, we didn't eat in the morning. So he went. Part of the things he went to pick later was our breakfast, you understand? So as we were driving, I'm sure he was hungry. Me too, I was hungry. As we're leaving, he was munching. I said, why are you driving? Why are you eating? Why are you driving? This is Lagos. If it's in Lagos, we all imprison you like that. You understand what I'm saying? I said, well, let's leave this rough part first before you start eating. So as he was doing that, me, I started eating. I was eating away. I said, you should have eaten while I was preaching. Now it is time for me to eat. You cannot eat. And we were just joking about it. But I'm bringing an issue here. Now, you know what they call living large? You know what they call living large? That's how some people interpret what I have just said. You drove a very big car. Believe me, the car was big. To fill the tank, my tank's 120 liters. It's big. Yet we filled our tank when we're going, burnt most of the fuel going back and coming, going down, coming back. As long as that's living, it's not living large. I'm going somewhere. I've learned to think all the time. Why do I have this privilege? I'm coming. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm coming somewhere. It's simple. Why did Yinka do the driving? Because I was going to preach. Imagine, this is exactly what happened. I left preaching. 10 minutes later, we were on our way. And as soon as, before Yinka parked, I crossed the road by foot. You understand? He was going to turn at the traffic light there. I just jumped across the road and ran upstairs here, grabbed the microphone, and started preaching again. And you are here. Listen to me preach. If I had to do that driving, there's no way I would be able to do this preaching. If we did not have that car and we had to stop and wait, okay, Faith Motors, Enugu 3 Aero. Oh, Father in heaven. Preaching in Benin for the war. Preaching here today, of course, is out of the point. In fact, we won't even arrive back today. By the time we finish praying, you just go and lie down somewhere and sleep. So sometimes I think about it. Like in my house, I have a lot of quiet. I live in a very big house. I rented it. I can have absolute quiet anytime. Because the house is so big, I can just band the children down to one corner. All of you, downstairs, now. Yes, Daddy, and they're all gone downstairs. What am I doing with the quiet I have? Is it time now to not cross my legs saying, hey, where's that latest home video, ma'am? Now sit down there like a man that God wants to punish. Says, so take your ease. You have a big television. Oh, look, I say, look at this fool. No, I'm bringing an issue here. I look at life like that, and I always ask myself, why do I have this ease in this area? I have identified my reason. That's why I write sermons. That's why I write books. I believe that God gave me that quiet to be able to put something down on paper. Listen, I won't live in a small house, personally, because it will be a hindrance to my ministry. Yes. I won't. At least I would not. It's a hindrance to my ministry. Before this year ends, a few more books will come out. I write those books. So I literally write them. I don't have any book yet that was transcribed from a tape. I have to write each one letter by letter. I type them like this. I type one word by word. I'm talking about understanding purpose in life. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. When we're talking about eating it with your loin girded, you see, these are the things that make the blood of Jesus ineffective. When we don't eat the Passover, when we don't observe the Passover with our loins girded. No, I didn't. In fact, anyway, Yinka and I drive around a lot when it comes to ministry work. The only reason we drive that car around all the time when we have to travel is so that we can be effective in what we have to do. I came down here after 4 hours on the road, and we're very comfortable. That is, without having to change, I finished preaching, entered the car, sat down comfortably, got down here, and preaching again. Everything is for a purpose. If tomorrow I don't have to preach again, I don't need all of that. I don't. Please, I'm saying all of this, talking about living life with a purpose and living it ready to go at any time. I have a reason why I have life. You know, I said something about that before. One day I thought about it. I said, what if they told you now, suddenly? And they said, and God appears to you, say, bank, I'll give you 3 more months. You're going to die. And according to Stephen Hawking, that man who says he does not believe in God, he says, nothing focuses the mind like a death sentence. When they diagnosed that I had what they used to call then, that then they called it motor neuron disease. Now they call it Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. That's what he has, all right? He has a serious problem, okay? Now, they gave him a number of years. In fact, the reason why he's still alive is because he's Stephen Hawking. He should have died, all right? But, you know, they put so much effort into keeping him alive because of the very sharp brain that he has. He said nothing focuses the mind like a death sentence. So I used to think, okay, if somebody is, because they told him then that he had a number of years to live. So as I started working on his PhD thesis and everything, I said, if I was told the same thing, what will I do as a person? Now, I know me. I know what I'm going to do. That I know the kind of thing that I want to do in life. So what will I do? You know, some people are very funny. They say, if they know they are going to die in 6 months, they will travel to Himalayas, from then to Timbuktu. From Timbuktu, they will go to see Sydney Opera House. And then you have 6 months in life, you will walk up and down. True. Some people decrease. You have 6 months. No, that's how they reason. I have to do all these things. You have to go for bungee jumping. You know what they call bungee jumping? After bungee jumping, you go for skiing. You die from the air. I say, If you give me 6 months to live, why do I want to die faster? You jump, the bungee rope cuts now. Man, don't die early with that. What will I do with my time? That's the point I'm making. I know me. I say, I will put myself in a corner and pour on paper every sermon that I'm supposed to preach, that I have not yet preached. Are you getting my point? All the books I have in my heart that I'm supposed to write that I have not written, I start pouring them out. 6 months, wait. Day and night, Just stop, type. Finally, I'll call my wife. These are the instructions. These are the things you do with all the messages. This is how you manage the website. This is what you do. This is what you do. I give the whole instruction. So after thinking about it, I said, in that case, why are you waiting for a death sentence before you do what you are supposed to do? So I told the Lord, no need for the death sentence. Don't worry about it. No be book, we go write. No be preach. Now we do so. We're back on radio. Now there's pressure on me again to start downloading things onto tapes. And listen, it's part of existence. I don't know how to say it. It's the reason why I live. I have to do it. That's the only way I count for the breath that I have. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, one man the other day, he's going to start a church in Yola. So I just remember it. So I preached where he was, and he took my number and everything. So in my mind, I said, blessed, this man won't invite me, go, come Yola. So the first thing that came to my mind is that, go preach for Yola. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is what? Yola. Boko Haram now. So I remember as soon as I thought that thought, as soon as I finished thinking the thought, I told myself, say, you had better go and preach in Yola if this man invites you. If you, because of Boko Haram, don't go and preach in Yola, what are you saying to God? So I said, okay, I'll wait. He wasn't inviting, we're just exchanging contact, just exchanging numbers. And the thought just flashed through my mind. What am I going to say? What it says, eat it with your loin girded. This is one of the ways we apply the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is not for shouting. Shout, shout, shout. Many people are shouting it. They are not celebrating the Passover. He said, by faith, Moses kept that Passover so that that angel of death that destroyed the Egyptians did not destroy them. If you will keep the Passover, I'm saying to you again, the blood has been shed for your sake. Did I hear an amen? If you keep it, this is what it means to keep the Passover. To eat it with your loins girded, I'm starting from back now, with bitter herbs. You are eating this with unleavened bread. You are applying the blood all over your heart. Believe me, that which destroys the Egyptians will not destroy you. Don't forget what I said, the judgment was coming upon the whole land. You know, we're looking at the flood today when we traveled. I said, Olayinka, this is what they call flood. There's one hotel immediately after that bridge. The whole hotel, the whole ground floor is underwater. So, Lanka and I were saying, wow, hope nobody was lodging. So I was asking, can you please explain, did this water rise gradually or it came suddenly? Now, this is the point. Whether it rose gradually or it came suddenly, if indeed you are applying, you are keeping the Passover, that which is destroying the Egyptians will not destroy you. That's the point I am making. And it is your duty to ensure that you are not destroyed. By faith, Moses kept that Passover. And our instruction from the life of Moses today is that we also must keep the Passover.